Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello and welcome to another exciting and informative edition of Atlanta Business Radio. I'm your host today, Ryan McPherson, and I'm absolutely thrilled to tell you we are broadcasting, as always, from the beautiful Regis Executive Suites here in sensational Sandy Springs. As a reminder, make sure you're connected with us on social media, Twitter, at Business Radio X. And today we're using the hashtag Atlanta Business Radio. You can also follow me personally on Twitter, at Ryan Redhawk, and make sure you like our Facebook page. You can interact with us there and see all of the photos of our in-studio guest. And now it's my distinct pleasure to welcome to the Business Radio X flagship studio and Atlanta Business Radio two exciting guests. First, Mr. David Brinkman. How you doing, sir?
Good morning, Ryan. I'm doing great.
All right, David, you are with Assure Sign. Is that right?
I am. Assure Sign, we're an electronic signature digital transaction management company based newly here in Atlanta. We moved from Orlando in the middle of last summer. So we're new Atlanta transplants. We're loving the area. I'm actually loving this weather as opposed to 86 degrees in the middle of December in Florida. But this has been a great transformation for us. We're excited to be here, and thanks for having us on the show.
Yeah, we look forward to hearing more about Assure Sign, how it came to be, and how you're changing the world of electronic and digital software in that manner. So please stick with us as we also introduce our other guest here today, Chris Carnell. He's with Boosterthon. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing great. Thanks for the opportunity.
All right. Boosterthon, you are a founder and president. What is Boosterthon?
Well, over a decade ago, we saw that elementary schools all over America were using age-old traditional ways to raise funds by selling products, cookie dough, magazines, wrapping paper. People were tired of it.
Yeah, we've done that. I did that.
Everybody's done it. And it creates obesity. It's work on teachers. It's distracting from the educational process. And we thought there has to be a better way, okay, something that everybody can get behind. So we came up with a fitness fun run concept that everyone's part of, all inclusive, teaches character lessons, and raises schools more money.
I love it. I'm a fitness guy myself. I think you need to teach fitness to youngsters, especially now they're taking PE out of schools.
Yep.
So when did this company begin?
Well, I was a college student. This is literally a college dorm room idea.
What was?
Baseball player.
Your idea.
My idea.
Okay.
A lot of schools had done their own fitness fun runs, but they are an unbelievable amount of work to organize. And there was not an organization that was doing that work for the schools. My mom was an educator for 35 years, so I knew schools. I grew up in an educator's home. I understood teachers. I know how much they have to do, their workload, overworked, underpaid. And then certain times of year, they had to collect coins and dollars for cookie dough and magazines that grandparents didn't really need.
Right.
And those companies took too high of a percentage.
Yeah, I used to sell wrapping paper,
yep,
right? You know, to help raise funds for the school, charities, and festivals and such.
So with my sports background and then background in an educator's home, I just started talking to schools, to teachers, to principals, kind of pitching the idea.
Mm-hmm.
Over 50.
Yeah.
I was a college student. And I was asking schools to trust me with their kids and their money, two things people care the most about. Finally, one school in Birmingham, Alabama, 13 years ago, took a chance and said, let's try it. Mm-hmm. Our goal is to raise $4,000. And I was more shocked than the school was when they profited $21,000. Had a lot of great ideas, but it worked better than we thought. And for the past 13 years, we've been doing that and serving schools all over the country.
That's fantastic. But let's go back to that time, too. In that dorm room, as you're thinking through this idea, you know, many great ideas come to us in, you know, settings. But actually putting it into action is the hard part. Did you have someone help you with this? Or when was that kind of aha moment for you when you knew this is the mission you wanted to go on?
Yep. Well, literally, I know exactly where I was. I was played college baseball. Then when my baseball career was over, I started a baseball tutoring lesson business. I love
teaching
kids, teaching elementary kids like my coaches did to me. And I'd work on sports. And one day, one of those kids, his name was Carter, school's dismissed. Hey, coach, before we start baseball lessons, do you want to buy cookie dough? And he gave me this big catalog. And I thought, are you kidding me? Is this still going on?
Yeah.
This happened years ago. And I thought, you know, there's got to be a better way to do this. So I started exploring and looking what other schools were doing. There were an occasional schools that did a fun run or a golf tournament or a dinner auction or some event. Usually it was a lot of work to organize. Usually it didn't raise as much as they thought, or it excluded students. So I wanted something that was participatory for students that they could gain some ownership over. And I was at the time doing baseball lessons and teaching character lessons, attitude, hard work, perseverance, grit to
right.
the students. So I thought, well, let's integrate that into a fundraiser.
And a fun run. So I'm a school and I need to sign up. How does this process look?
Yeah, so the Boosterthon Fun Run, we now will serve this school year alone over 1,600 schools, 38 states nationwide, 80 plus in the Atlanta area.
Wow.
To date, we've raised school profit has been over $150 million
that's
nationwide.
Fantastic. Unreal. I mean, that's so much money. And people are getting fit and enjoying community and togetherness while doing it.
So we're making fitness fun for elementary students.
Right.
And we want to reframe it. The goal is that it doesn't look or feel like a fundraiser, but at the same time, it'll raise twice the results that a traditional product sale.
Okay.
And our team does all the work. We have a team of 450 team members nationwide. And they are incredible.
They actually go out to the fun run and help, you know, with the setup and the breakdown and all that.
Yeah, it's actually a 2-week program, which is a short time frame. Kick it off on a Monday generally, and the fun run's on a Wednesday, depending on the school schedule. We customize a lot of things to fit the school. Mm-hmm. We learn where they've been and how we can integrate it into their program. But then each day we're teaching character lessons, communicating, organizing on behalf of the school. Then the culmination is the fun run at the very last day, and everyone's part of it.
Right. The students, the family members, other, you know, members of the community are out there.
That's right. Parents come, take pictures. I mean, it's a field day times 10. We have flags waving, banners, tents, tunnels, soundtrack, organized. Our team's out there leading it, and we really want it to feel like a fun fitness event for the students.
And the money's collected, and then it goes back to whatever the school decides they want this money to go to.
That's right. Whatever they want. And it could go to smart boards to pay a salary for a PE coach to a new gym floor. It's up to them. But we're going to come on campus and help them raise as much as we can and do all the work for them.
And since you began doing this, have you found that schools are doing this year after year as well?
That's right. The vast majority of schools do this every single year. We have a couple different program options where if a school says, hey, we have a lot of volunteers this year, then we will come alongside them. We have an event program. So it's the live program, the event program, and then Fun Run U. If a school says, we want to do this on our own, but we don't know how to set up the credit card payments and we really want the character content. So service levels depending upon what's best for them.
Yeah, and you know, also important when you go out and do those fun runs or 5Ks is the t-shirt as well. So having a nice t-shirt to commemorate that and wear it to your next event is always fun too. So I bet that's part of your package.
We have a huge spirit wear department and we can customize the t-shirts for the school depending upon what fits them.
Mm-hmm. And you said you're helping almost 80 schools or over 80 here in Atlanta?
Just in the metro Atlanta area, just this year, over 80 schools.
So there's probably an event going on every weekend somewhere from Boosterthon.
From August to May, our team is on school campuses serving, strengthening schools, and there's a good chance many of the listeners have either given to, supported, or have kids that have participated.
And are you out there participating in these fun runs yourself?
At least a couple times a year, I'm out there on the microphone, staying close, learning, doing it, but our headquarters and our home office is here in Atlanta.
And why Atlanta? What chose you to set up shop here?
I'm originally from South Florida. Went to school in Birmingham, went to grad school in Kentucky. I love Atlanta. I mean, everything about it, I feel like it's mm-hmm. the capital of the South. It's got the best of everything. It's fast growing. The people are incredible. We love it. I have 4 kids myself.
Okay.
Their Boosterthon actually kicks off at their school in 2 weeks.
You better.
so we just love Atlanta. Great place to raise a family. Incredible people.
So yeah, you were all over the South and then finally migrated to Atlanta. So as you mentioned, the capital of the South, as we like to say here too. So yeah, it's a great place to do business. A great way to connect. Atlanta's a lot of little communities coming together as one large city. And so getting involved in your local backyard is always important as well.
That's right. And doing what we do allows us to connect locally. I mean, I feel like the elementary school is kind of the heart of every local community, and to be able to serve them, to teach character lessons. We've raised over $18 million just for Atlanta schools since we've been serving schools in Atlanta the last decade. So very proud of it. It's a mission to us. Mm-hmm. It's a for-profit business because it allows us to run things more efficiently and effectively, but our mission is to serve and to strengthen schools and to resource them.
So what else do you need? What else do you need to, you know, push this further down the field?
Yeah, well, we're scaling it nationwide. We're coming up with new concepts. We're piloting a lot of new things now that are not just fun runs, that are experience-based.
You should do a mud run.
Maybe so.
If that's very popular.
I've done a few myself.
Yeah, I love them too. But getting those kids, getting them out there, getting dirty, or a paint run or something like that.
Yeah, we actually have a color run option. A lot of middle school is an interesting demographic and challenging how to motivate middle school students. Mm-hmm. But we have a color run for middle schools and an add-on program. We're always looking for great talent.
So helping recruit new members of your team.
We're growing 20 to 30% year over year nationwide.
Where do you usually find this good talent?
It is almost all word of mouth. Okay. Again, because we work with people's kids and their money, we're looking for high integrity, values-based leaders.
Yes.
Our values are integrity, enthusiasm, leadership, and results. We produce results for schools, leaders that are doing that. You got to have enthusiasm when you're working with tens of thousands of students.
That's right.
This year, over 1 million students nationwide. And high integrity, of course.
So recruiting good talent, then what do you do to keep this good talent on your team?
Well, growth helps. If you're growing, there's always more opportunities.
Right.
So there's a lot of different levels in the organization. You could perform the event, be a program leader. You can organize it, be a program director. And then we have GMs that run each local market that are selling it and representing it. But we want to serve more schools. We're looking for ways to serve. There's 90,000 elementary schools in America. And we're the largest non-product sale fundraiser in America, but we're only serving 1,600 and we're growing fast. But
wow,
we want to serve every school in America, raise them more money, do the work for them, and teach character lessons.
Yeah, so help get the word out. And so listeners, if you want to get out there and support Boosterthon, you can do so. Go to boosterthon.com. Check them out on Twitter, Boosterthon, or Facebook as well if your school or would like to get involved. One question jumps off my mind too is why not high schools? Only elementary and middle school. Why not the high schools?
We're working our way there. We will work with K through 8 if they're connected. Sometimes K through 12, it's a private school, mm-hmm. and use the older students as a mentor, teaching the character lessons to the younger students. But we're getting there. We're starting with elementary and trying to be excellent at one thing at a time.
And so you are for profit, but I know there's got to be ways that Boosterthon gives back to the community.
Yes.
What are some of those ways?
Yeah, well, there's been many years that we've been nonprofit, not by choice. Raising funds in a difficult economy is always tricky. But we have a very strong character theme every year and in turn a give back. This year's theme is the Big Shoe Takeoff. And we're partnering with some nonprofits that are giving away shoes in countries across the world. And their biggest cost is how do we ship these shoes and provide the transportation? So as schools reach certain levels, we as an organization are giving money to fund that so that hopefully our goal this year is that we would give away 60,000 shoes worldwide.
To children in need worldwide.
That's right. And there's companies that do that, but what they don't have is the funds to transport them to
so
get them there.
They collect the shoes, but they don't know how to distribute the shoes.
And we're aiding in that, yeah.
All right. So
every year
great.
We try to give back in some certain way.
But it seems like though you are for profit, but your mission is kind of a good moral compass kind of a mission that you're doing. You're helping children, you're helping people get fit, you're helping schools. I mean, win.
That's right. Almost all of our clients are nonprofit schools. So we our goal is to raise them as much as we mm-hmm. can for their purposes and then come alongside and educate students in character and fitness.
Yeah. And so schools need to get signed up and get involved. It's a great way to stay healthy and promote other ways to raise money other than, like you said, selling candy or wrapping paper. I sell Christmas wrapping paper every year. Yeah. My mom did it for me, actually, but I just wanted the reward at the end of the year, too. So this is a great way for the whole family to get involved.
Sure. That's right. Yeah. It creates great conversations at home. Our character lessons, we traveled the world this past year filming videos all over the world, different continents, engaging with really incredible character lessons. Big World Recess is the character theme of the year. Every year we keep the program fresh by having a whole new character theme and videos.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have provided videos that students could watch with their families at home. And then those videos lead to conversations around courage and confidence and teamwork. And thought-provoking questions that I would want my kids to participate in.
Yeah, all those characteristics resonate with me as well. So it's great that you're instilling them to the youth out there at such a young age. And then this is something they can carry with them as they grow older and get out there into college and in the workforce as well.
That's right.
And so Boosterthon really is doing great work, and you're all over out there. 38 states,
yep.
But plenty of room to grow. And who is usually the decision maker on who implements this into the school?
Every school is different. We'll work with PTAs, PTOs, principals, PE coaches, booster clubs, private schools, donor development. It just depends on the school. At a local public elementary school, the majority of our clients, it's usually the PTA or the principal that says, hey, let's hear about this. So we come in person to a school and we say, first, before we begin, tell us about your school. Where have you been? What do you do? What's important to you? And then let us present, and you tell
us.
The
actual presentation to the board members, the PTA members, who they can get a real good look at. Do you encourage them to go out, maybe participate in a fun run or look at another school?
We would love it. We make them aware, 100% transparency. Here's every program. Talk to any principal that's experienced it. Get their perspective. Every school is different, so we need to customize our program to fit their needs.
Right. So, what about a calendar of events? If somebody wants to go out there and see, hey, there's a fun run going on this weekend, I'd like to participate
in. They could contact us, boosterthon.com, and they could come and see it. If a school that doesn't participate sees a fun run that we're hosting, mm-hmm. they'll sign up.
All right, man.
It's amazing.
That's great. So so thank you so much for joining us. Please remind our listeners all the different ways they can get in touch with you and your organization.
Great. Thank you so much. Boosterthon.com, number one way. We'll contact you within 24 hours, and we'd love to meet with you.
All right. Chris Cardinal, he is the founder and president over there. So I look forward to seeing you back in the studio in 2016 with some new exciting news to share with our listeners. So if something happens and you'd like to come on back, please do. We'd love to have you.
you.
Thanks, Ryan.
All right. All right. Now, our next guest here, he's been waiting patiently, so thank you so much, David Brinkman from AssureSign. How are you doing, David?
I'm doing great.
All right. So AssureSign is an electronic signature software that enterprises and small businesses can adopt.
Absolutely. So it's a great way when you think about the paper that's involved in any kind of business transaction. It just slows down the process. In fact, when now with millennials, you're looking at paper as something that's absolutely foreign.
Yeah.
Right. So if I'm someplace and somebody sends me something and says, hey, you know what, I need you to print this, sign it, and fax it back or scan it into me. A lot of people now look at you like, you know, this is really a hindrance for us having this business relationship. Mm-hmm. And so electronic signature is really interesting. We've kind of turned the corner from where businesses were looking at it as a way to increase efficiency. Now customers are demanding it. They want that electronic, high-tech, high-touch type of relationship with their vendors. And electronic signature in a larger category, digital transaction management, is all about the efficiencies and dealing with customers in the way they want to be interacted with.
I think there's a big trust factor there for a lot of folks. They just don't trust the e-signature or the digital signature. What are you guys doing particularly to build that trust?
Well, one of the things that we do is we try not to raise AssureSign as the focal point of the transaction. So you have, say, your insurance agent, right? Your insurance agent is, you're going to trust that they've done the due diligence to make sure that they've pick the right vendor or the right solution in order to interact with you. And so what we do is we actually allow our customers to really brand themselves in that transaction. So AssureSign sits in the background, performs all of the software hurdles in order to present and collect the electronic signatures, and then following that to have that data put back into that customers or the insurance company's system so that they have a digital record. So nothing ever goes to paper. And so you deal with that. So that's one way that we work with it. Another way is security, right? So it's kind of like a pen and a piece of paper. You never know what's going to come out of the end of that pen. As an electronic signature company, we never know what's going to be signed. So everything that we do has an ultra sense of security. So the way we house our data, we're hosted in Microsoft Windows Azure data centers. Our data is encrypted in the data center and then encrypted twice more. So a security breach for anybody. I mean, they happen. It seems like every day you're opening up. All right, it's just not an acceptable solution for us. So we've created an entire audited security process that makes sure that the data is there, and we communicate that to our customers. It's there on our website, but it really goes back to that initial relationship.
Yeah, with the relationship with the customer, but also the relationship with the business providing those services, knowing that when they adopt AssureSign, that it's backed up, it's secure, it's cutting edge technology. Where do you go to stay ahead of the curve in this ever evolving market?
Oh, I tell you what, it is moving so fast. So a couple of things that we've taken on as initiatives. One is we adopted a mobile first strategy. So what we're seeing in our environment is more than 35% of all of the documents that are being executed are now being executed on a mobile device. So a mobile device can be anything from your smartphone to a tablet to, you know, have a Microsoft Surface here. Mm-hmm. So that is considered a mobile device. And when you see that, right, when we started this thing, desktop was it, right?
Yeah, that's
it. You went home, you signed the document. The other thing that the mobile devices do for us is in what we employ what we call responsive design, or what is called responsive design, which means that the screen orientation can change. And by utilizing responsive design, your implementation stays the same. It just adapts to the pixel size of the screen. So it's really intuitive. Apple set the stage a long time ago, right? If I have to read an instruction manual, I don't want to, I don't want to have to deal with technology. We just, that's the expectation.
Right.
And so specifically the people that are signing the documents don't want to have to, you know, it should be follow the bouncing ball, right? What do I think I should do next?
Yeah, right. And we want ease of use for the end consumer. You don't want them having to kind of fumble through this because then they get frustrated with that organization who then it comes back and gets frustrated to the, who's providing those services. And so you guys seem to have perfected this though. You said you began in Orlando a few years ago?
Right. So we started this company, my partner and I, back in 2007. It was actually a spinoff from another company that we had run. Started with a company out of New Jersey, just startup called Vonage.
Heard of that. We used to see commercials all the time.
Right. And so Vonage was a really interesting case study for us because they had they're really a paradigm shift in telecommunications, right? Normally, if you wanted phone service, you picked up the phone, you called the new service provider. I'm old, right? So I remember when you didn't have a choice, right? Here was your phone
Southern
company.
Bell.
Or before that AT&T, yeah. Right? Before the breakup. So what they found was they were touching a new type of user, and these were tech-savvy users who wanted to be able to sign up online.
Mm-hmm.
And they were trying to adapt this paper process essentially into this online environment, and it just didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And so we came in and said, you know what? What we refer to is intro modality, right? So how I'm dealing with you in a presence standpoint is how I want to complete this transaction. I should never move you from the computer to the phone or from the phone to the computer or any variation.
Just stay fluid all the way through.
Absolutely. And so we came to them and said, you know, let's look at doing this, what we're calling an ELOA or an electronic letter of agency. And we started this thing and we said, you know what, this is kind of cool. And we said, let's start a company that does this. And so that's kind of how AssureSign was born. And so Vonage is a great success story. We helped them because of their huge demand in the beginning of they had this backlog, this paper backlog. We helped them move that down to something that was from 45 days to now is within the day. But, you know, years ago, it was mm-hmm. 3 or 4 days. So it was a big win for us. Electronic signatures, a lot of times we get the question, right? How do we know that they're legal? And so we always go back to, well, we've gone through this transition where everybody assumed that, you know, a pen on a paper was legal. And then we went to this whole thing where fax machines, well, how do I know a fax copy is legal? And then we went into the electronic environment. And so the guidance that's used around that is the eSign Act of 2000 and a state companion to that called UIDA. It simply defines an electronic signature in very brief terms as any sound symbol or process it's associated with or logically attached to a document or transaction with the intent to sign. So when we looked at that, we said, you know what, this is really neat. What we'll be able to do is not only use the web to be able to collect electronic signatures, but also the phone. So the other thing that we do is we have what we call verbal signature. So we're able to, and we do this thousands or tens of thousands of times a day, customers that are dealing with somebody on the phone where they need to get that approval for that type of transaction is now able to be approved with a verbal signature on the phone. So we've really done a lot of different things to bring a lot of different technologies together.
Right. And it sounds like you're pioneering a lot of this. Maybe other people are piggybacking on your success and seeing how you're, you know, out there leading the pack in this. But why did you move the business to Atlanta?
Well, that's an interesting thought or journey in and of itself. So my VP of sales and marketing is here in Atlanta. And he'd started to get networked into the Atlanta marketplace and found himself down at the Atlanta Tech Village.
That's right.
And so I would get these reports, right? Oh, this is really cool. We got this stuff going on down here at the Village. We got this, you know, another meetings. We get this type of speaker. I think you
have events going on all the time.
All the time. It seems like, you know, multiple times in a week. And so I started to travel from Orlando to Atlanta for a lot of these events. And what I found was outside of the Tech Village is that Atlanta is just an incredible technology hub.
It is.
Right? From a fintech standpoint, It's the place to be. We looked at the, from a talent standpoint, right? You've got Georgia Tech, you've got Georgia Southern, you've got Emory, you've got Georgia.
Kennesaw State now.
Kennesaw State. You've got a lot of these, like General Assembly that are turning out these young
coders. We've had them on the program.
Coders, right? Yep. And so I said, you know what? This just makes sense to be here. And so we were at a point where my wife and I've been in Florida my whole life. I said, you know what? We're gonna move to Atlanta. She didn't have a problem with it. Our daughter lives up in Cumming, so it was an easy sell for me. And we moved up here. Moved in last September. The business moved in May. And I tell you what, I've been so busy just being up here, getting networked in. There's so many resources. Atlanta is such a great community, and it's supportive of all of the companies. It's just amazing. I've lived in Orlando for 30 years and I never saw this. I got to Atlanta and it was just entirely different.
Well, that's outstanding, honest testimony from David Brinkman, president and CEO of AssureSign, and the reason why they moved the business here to Atlanta, as he just described in great detail there. And in 2016, what are some of these trends that you see evolving in the e-signature world? And what maybe some things that AssureSign is going to be doing to bring to market?
Well, so what a lot of our customers do, so you've got a couple of different ways that you can use electronic signature. One is if you're a small business, right? You want to collect these documents on online. Mm-hmm. You don't want to have to take them to paper. And so we have a product line that's called Inscribe that's about the small business. We see that product as maturing over the next year. The big part for us when we look at our sales, in 2015 we actually doubled sales. So 2015 was a big year for us. And one of the reasons that when we went back to look at it was the integration aspect, right? How do I tie electronic signature into my business process? And so if I'm able to do that, then I see efficiencies that go well beyond just keeping the document electronic.
Right.
Right? I've got workflow management. All of a sudden, one of my customers signs a deal. It goes into my system and it triggers a provisioning event and starts the next piece, right? I don't have an intermediary that's going, I have to go to the assistant
right,
and
wait
say,
for somebody
hey,
else.
Did I get this contract
right.
yet? Or did they fax it in? So that's been huge for us. We have a really strong partnership model. And so as I mentioned, I'm kind of this Microsoft guy, but with Microsoft CRM, it got a great plugin, a great interaction there. And so finding ways to bring electronic signature, which is what our customers are doing, is just leading to tremendous growth, tremendous efficiencies from an electronic signature and just a digital transaction management environment for all of our customers.
Yeah, it sounds like it's evolving week to week, month to month, and certainly through the year in 2016. And you guys are making things happen. You know, how can we help you here at Business Radio X? Or can we help you get out there and find new businesses to get in front of or just amplify your message overall? I mean, what can we do to help?
Yeah, absolutely. So assuresign.com, that's A-S-S-U-R-E, assuresign.com, where you can reach us on Facebook and Twitter at assuresign.com. So we're always looking for those kinds of businesses that are going, you know what, we need to jump on this thing.
Whether they're a small business or a large business.
Right, absolutely. And we do a lot of work in the insurance marketplace, and there's insurance is going through a transition in and of itself. As the leadership changes and the young guys or girls are coming up, mm-hmm. They're realizing that technology is something they have to leverage to grow the
right.
business. And so that's leading to adoption. And also another thing is we're trying to find people to come to work for AssureSign. So
yep.
that's a big thing for us. So right now we're looking for sales and we're looking for a marketing coordinator or a future CMO type role for what we're doing. And so those are some of the immediate ways, right?
Right?
So we love to solve problems. I mean, that's, I think when we go back, we're a service company, but when I look at that, it really means if, you know, we're a servant company. We look to serve and our customers in any way that we can to help them. If they've got the desire to make something happen, we can figure it out. When I look through I've been an entrepreneur now for 25 years. When I look at all the things that we've done, it's always kind of cool to figure out, all right, we had somebody who had this problem and then we helped them solve it.
Yeah.
And I get, you know, some of those stories that you tell over a drink. Those are some of the most fun things where you didn't, at the beginning, you had absolutely no idea how you were going to do this. And then you came up with a solution and you're like, all right, that's cool.
Right. Makes you want to go out there and do it again.
Absolutely.
Help other people. And so you mentioned a couple times already that insurance business is part of heavy into who you serve. I would imagine that attorneys need a lot of this type of methods. Are you working with them at all?
Well, it's interesting. Attorneys is they're a bit of an enigma in the electronic signature environment. Where we do find, in fact, a company here in Atlanta called Captora, they actually automate the onboarding for high volume personal injury onboarding
Right. There's
those
a lot
types
of documents you have to sign.
There's a lot
initial
of documents you want to they want to get you to sign up to represent you and so that's where attorneys jump in. Not so much on the day to day stuff, but that high volume onboarding for those types of customers. But insurance is probably we've increased last year our insurance presence by 40%. And insurance is one of those things where it is so paper heavy, right? You do anything at all. And it seems like, you know, I want to drop this car from my policy. All right, well, I'm going to send you some stuff over to sign. You know, are you kidding me? Can you just send me that electronically?
Right.
And so the efficiencies are great. You don't have to wait. I travel a lot. And so being able to, you know, there's no such thing as, well, you send it to my house, I'm not going to be home for a week, or you send it to my email, but I don't have access to a printer, right? Electronically signed and executed and managed documents are just so much easier for everybody to do. And the legality question is just not even... it might be a concern for them, but it's not a concern anyplace else.
Right. Another industry that comes to mind for me that is very document heavy and lots of signatures needed is real estate. You know, when it comes to buying a house or moving or what have you. So is there any avenues for you to explore there and a SureSign?
We have real estate is one of those things. We're a smaller company, so we tend to pick our markets. One of the things that that we have been able to do, and I mentioned before, is a partner program. So we have got a tremendous stable of partners where we don't have to necessarily be the subject matter experts in every area where you want electronic documents to be enabled. So through our partners, like Accenture and Lexmark and Wolters Kluwer, they then take that expertise and then go out, and embed electronic signature into their process. In fact, I think this year we'll do something like a couple hundred thousand tax returns that are going to be the IRS form 8878 and 8879s are all going to be able to be signed electronically. And so we've done that. We didn't go to those firms ourselves, but CCH Wolters Kluwer did that.
Right.
And so they're, you know, they recognize is just a huge benefit there for everybody. So yeah, we lean on our partners. They bring us great ideas. They bring us into markets that we didn't necessarily have to be or have the expertise, and then we let them share in the profits.
And we certainly resonate with that as well. Power partnering yourself with like-minded companies and organizations and individuals who are serving the same marketing, helping get the word out is very important for us. And so we'd love to have you back on the program and maybe bring one of your partners with you.
Absolutely.
So they can talk about your business and how your business helped them and how they're helping you. And it just makes for good content for sure. So please do come back. Please do share your stories here in 2016. We look for more great things from AssureSign. Remind our listeners how they can find out more about you and your organization.
Okay. It's assuresign.com. Or you can reach us at our Twitter handle at AssureSign and also Facebook. Like us on Facebook. We love people to like us on Facebook.
There you have it, folks. You can also connect with David Brinkman on LinkedIn. So if you're on LinkedIn and would like to, I'm sure he would accept the connection there. So look for him, David W. Brinkman on LinkedIn. So thank you so much for joining us here today. I look forward to more great things in the future from you and AssureSign. And just a couple more minutes here before we get out. Like to just talk about entrepreneurship, since we have great entrepreneurs here together in the studio. So we'll turn our attention briefly back to Chris Carnell with Boosterthon. on. So being an entrepreneur, you said this was all born out of your dorm room. I would like to know, was there anyone along the way, a mentor or a sponsor who really helped you and succeed in your mission?
Yeah, great question. I certainly identify with being an entrepreneur as risk taker. I also want to be the entrepreneur that stays with something for a while, not a new idea. I have new ideas every every day, but I really admire entrepreneurs. You know, we're here in Atlanta. I think Truett Cathy is one of America's greatest entrepreneurs. He had an idea, and if you know his story, you know, he spent 13 years getting to the second store, and then that store burned down. And then, you know, so the grit of an entrepreneur to say, I don't just have ideas, but I want to stick this through. I believe in my mission so much. So I have new ideas all the time. I almost internally to our team, I call myself an intrapreneur. I want to have ideas that help our school, that we can leverage the clients we have, the platform we have, and ideate ways to make our existing program and more programs better. An example of that is we have the t-shirts, of course, for the program, for the Boosterthon. But so many other schools have said, because we're buying 1.2 million t-shirts a year. We're the largest buyer of youth t-shirts in the country.
Wow.
So we've had schools say, well, can you do our spirit wear? Yes, we could do spirit wear, even for non-Boosterthon clients, faster, cheaper, better than anybody else. So it's led to that. And I love entrepreneurs. And I think any entrepreneur would say they've had dozens of mentors.
Right.
There's no true bootstrap, did it all myself. You're lying or arrogant if that's the case.
If you claim that. So David, for you, is there someone now, you know, that is helping you take your business to the next level? Someone currently that you can always be looking to someone who's in another seat you hope to be in one day. So what about today as far as mentoring when you're already running an existing business?
Well, it's interesting. The Tech Village is all about mentoring. So we have the opportunity to be mentored, but also to mentor. And that's really one of the things that that I like about it is the opportunity to give back. Mm-hmm. I think from a mentor standpoint, what we look at is how do we plug in? How do we network, right? So one of the kind of crazy roads that Atlanta has taken me is I've become involved in EO. The Entrepreneurs Network.
We've had them in here on the program. We love them.
EO is just a tremendous organization of entrepreneurs. You have to meet certain criteria to get into EO, but you see people that are all along the spectrum who have made and sold businesses to people that are just starting out. There's a great program that EO has that allows companies that aren't quite EO ready to the accelerator program to move in. So EO is another one. I've gotten involved with the Technology Executives Roundtable, and so there's just the Atlanta is you know, first of all, the one thing about a mentor is make sure that you're making yourself available to, you know, let a number of voices speak into your ideas and into your thoughts.
That's good. So expand on that. For how do you do that?
Well, it's just the way I was saying, you've got to get out there. You've got to put yourself out. You've got to be open to listening to what people have to say. Sometimes you have to, you've heard one mouth, two ears. You got to shut up and listen sometimes. And as entrepreneurs, sometimes that's hard to do because we're so passionate about what we're doing that we get into this, let me tell you. And sometimes you got to just let the other person tell you and hear their story. But going back to one of the things that Chris said that really resonates with me, which is, being an entrepreneur doesn't mean being the overnight success, right? It's not the Powerball mentality. You have to have an idea. You have to be passionate about it, but you have to invest in it. And that investment isn't necessarily in dollars, but it's your time. It's your focus. It's, it's what you do. And so when I look at entrepreneurs and they think of, I want to own my own business because I want to go fishing more, right? That's not how this works.
Unless your business is fishing.
That's right. You're a fishing guy.
Right.
But it is a hard job. But it pays well, and it's not just financial, but it's being able to call your own shots and do your own thing. And that's what I love about it. I don't know. I'm sure I could, but it would be hard for me to work for somebody else and put that away.
Glad to hear that. These are the messages that we hear often here, and hearing it from you two gentlemen is definitely resonating with our audience for sure. One more question about entrepreneurship and running a successful business. Do you, Chris, or do you not hire family members? Good idea or bad idea?
I have not. I've hired a cousin, but I have not ruled it out. But for the first few years, it was just my wife and I.
Okay, and so it is kind of a family business.
Very much so. I mean, I consider our employees family. We do lots and lots of family events. Right. Spouses are always welcome. Kids are welcome. If you come to our office, again, we work with kids. So our office doesn't look like an office.
You have dogs in the office?
We have dogs, scooters, games. Yeah, right. We're always testing out fun stuff.
Nice.
We want a family environment. I mean, obviously you have to be wise, and yes, there's some potential negatives, but we want the best talent wherever it comes from. And my wife personally has been, you know, my greatest.
And she's still involved with the company?
In a very different role. We have four kids now, but yes, every day when I come home and have a question, problem, or excitement, she's my first filter
right
and
there.
She's the one that balances
so
me.
So from Chris's perspective, from Boosterthon, family members can be an asset to the business. Not always the case, but what about you, David? Thoughts on that? Are they an asset or an hindrance to the business, hiring family members?
Two rules that we had in the beginning when we started the company was no family, no friends.
Right. We hear that a lot.
Keep it business. It gets hard if a family member isn't performing to be able to put on the dad hat or the husband hat and take off the right. work hat, right? We anticipated it creating issues, and so we didn't do it. And so there's a clear delineation. I think my wife and I were both type D's, and so I think we beat each other up at home enough,
right,
to take that to the office. I don't know, that might not have been something good, but it was a good rule for us because it, you know, you didn't have folks that would play the family card in the office. And
right.
I think I've had friends that had family businesses. And if you're intentional about it and you set the ground rules out and say, all right, when you come in here, you don't call me dad, you call me Dave.
Right.
Right. And because by calling somebody their dad, you're invoking, right, this special relationship that nobody else in the office
right.
has.
And it can send mixed signals to the office.
It does. And they're like, oh, that's, you know, that's Dave's son. We can't do that. So,
right.
So I, you know, that's what I've seen, but for me, it was just easier. I don't like drama. and so we made that rule, and it's worked out well for us.
Well, there you heard it, have it, folks. You've heard it from two sides of the fence there. Chris says yes. Dave says no. Make sure you choose what's best for you, in your situation and your entrepreneurial journey. Certainly reaching out to mentors is important when they're your young startup or whether you're continually to, evolve your business, and making sure you're just, you know, giving back to the community along the way. So all good inside information. Thank you so much for sharing. Chris, if you would, remind our listeners how they can find Boosterthon one more time.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. Ryan, thanks for having us. Boosterthon.com. Boosterthon.com.
There you have it, folks. Boosterthon.com. They're on Twitter, Facebook. Connect with them there. And David, with AssureSign, how can listeners find you?
It's www.assuresign.com.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, listeners and supporters, for tuning in today. Look at the website later today, AtlantaBusinessRadio.BusinessRadioX.com, for all today's bios and information. And if your company is out there doing something interesting to genuinely serve your market and your community and your profession, reach out to us directly on the website and pitch us your story. BusinessRadioX.com. Thank you to Stone Payton and Lee Cantor for making all of this happen. And on behalf of the entire Business Radio X Network, I'm Ryan Redhawk McPherson. We will see you on the radio.